Have you thought about securing your hard-earned assets? Do you have concerns about the future? Protecting assets is crucial, and that's where Nelson Elder Care Law excels. As a family-owned and family-focused firm, we provide absolute assurance and peace of mind through our trademarked Absolute Protection Trust, tailored services in estate planning, probate administration, Medicaid crisis solutions, guardianship, and conservatorship. Our goal is to exceed your expectations and empower informed decisions. Visit NelsonElderCareLaw.com for asset protection and peace of mind.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
All right, here's my question of the day. Give us your favorite song about a truck.
I mean, we could do that, Chris, or virtual Chris in this instance somewhere down the line. In the meantime, the show must go on. The show known as Cellini and Domino, and it takes two people to replace one Chris Domino, apparently, because Domino's getting his daughters situated as they come home from college, so he is off today. But the College Football Hall of Famer, Matt Stinchcomb, is kind enough to come by today, and the legend, Steve West. They are here. Gentlemen, thank you for sitting in for Chris Domino today. Thank you.
It's a gift, an honor, would you say, Westy? I mean, what percentage are you planning? What percentage of the load are you planning on horsing around today?
Well, I just think it's great that
I'm taking 10%. That's all I do. You guys are handing them the rest.
Backing down your portion.
Split up the 90%.
I just think it's great that we get to see Matt Stinchcomb here in a studio. And as I was talking with Adam Gillespie before the show, and of course, Matt's well known nationally in a college football world and SEC network. But you started your career, and I believe it was the fall of 2006. Buck and I were doing Buck Belue's College Football Today at Locos for Saturday home games. And I remember you started working with us way back then.
Yeah,
and
man.
So great to see how your post-playing career has unfolded. And it's kind of come full circle today. You and I working together again today in the studio here with Nick Cellini.
It's nuts. This is like it's like an origin story. We're right back where we started. I had
it's
a sneaking with the FedEx,
actually.
Man. Well, yeah. Well, hey, and then Nick, I think the what are we doing? Sports night
That's
on
right.
CSS.
The now defunct CSS.
Yeah. Prayers up. Pour one out. But that was, we would do it like Tuesday nights or something. Y'all were good enough to have me on because we were promoting our charity stuff for children's healthcare. And it was kind of a quid pro quo. You know, you're there to promote a book or a movie or a charity or whatever it is. And I remember Nick got on me. I was driving up from Peachtree City. It took forever, you know, because between there and where the studio was in Norcross is the beast that is Atlanta. Oh,
yeah, it is.
And so I left too late or whatever. I come rolling in there and I'm wearing this like white polo shirt. It's all wrinkled up. And Nick goes, like, as we're wrapping up, which was a bootleg move because you can't say anything back. We're going to break. He's like, yeah, and maybe next time you can iron your shirt.
No time for Matt to come back and say anything. We'll be right back after this.
Like a drive-by. Anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Now, you and I were at Vanderbilt Stadium, or whatever they call it now, for week zero this year.
Yeah.
I didn't know until I went home and watched the replay of the game as they played in that under-construction site of a football stadium. But as I recall, there was a weather delay that was at least an hour and a half. What were you doing up in the booth during that weather delay?
Complaining, mainly. Yeah. I mean, just some third-degree black belt complaining. We were, and I will say, and I don't care, that is the worst place to endure a weather delay because they've invested. I think they brought in someone to make coffee where they brought in like the old, drip pot from their house because they don't have anything in their press box. You know, some of these places, they feed you like you're going to the electric chair. It's buffet after buffet. It's dangerous. There's like saltines in the corner and a water fountain, and that's it. And you're going, I got an hour and a half of what? And they were, because they were under construction, there's nothing that they're showing on the big. They got the big screen that's hanging from two cranes. There's a crane. So the big screen's suspended. And the entertainment for an hour and a half was watching the big screen to see how far it would sway. And would it, in fact, sway into the boom of the crane?
And might it fall?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What kind of damage will be rendered from this storm? And then, of course, they went and finished the game. And I can't remember who won.
Did Vanderbilt beat Hawaii? 35-28 Vanderbilt. I retreated during the delay to the bar at the Marriott, the one that's in the end zone, in front of the tents where the visiting team retreated to at halftime.
Yeah.
And I think I watched Jacksonville State and UTEP. That's what I did for entertainment. Yes.
Rich and compelling.
The man is an encyclopedia, Matt Stinchcomb. He forgets nothing. Steve West, Matt Stinchcomb today in for Chris Domino. He'll be back tomorrow. Appreciate you taking the time to listen. Remember, you can listen all the time. It's absolutely free. It's on the house, including to Braves baseball. And nowadays, that means more than ever.
How does it work? I download the app from you, and then I got to get two or three others to download it from
me. No. All you have to do, Matt Lear, is download the app onto your phone. It's all brought to you by Beaver Toyota of Cumming, and Beaver Direct is the quickest and easiest way to shop for a car online. So you can listen to us. You can watch us via the Fans YouTube channel. Most importantly, you can hear Braves baseball all season long into the postseason, also at 680thefan.com. You can follow us via the X platform at Matt Lear, at Road Dog 680, at Steve West ATL, at MStinch79. That's his Twitter handle. Yes, I did some research. At Cellini Nick at 680thefan. Today is National Tuna Day, and I always like to ask Matt Stinchcomb an offbeat question of the day, mainly to aggravate Chris Domino, because a lot of times we'll use the music as rejoins. Yes, that's an industry term. What's your favorite song about the water? With it being National Tuna Day, is the X platform question of the day.
You're asking, I'm answering
you
this?
You don't have to answer.
About the water or water in general?
You see, that's the beauty of it. It's open to interpretation. That's right.
Who did the theme song for, or the theme music for Jaws?
Leonard DiCaprio.
No, it wasn't him. He wasn't around yet.
I don't think Leonard DiCaprio is a real person.
I think you're right, Road Dogg. John Williams. I think he won
John Williams
Academy Award. Okay. So that's not a bad choice.
Hear that, all right, so you hear that? What do you think? You got, that's water. Mm-hmm. You immediately think, if you're near water, you're definitely puckered.
If you're in the ocean, you're not staying in the ocean. Nor should you ever go in the ocean, but that's another story for another time. That's just a personal belief I have.
Don't do it near Boca. Did you see those people dumping trash out of their boat? What a bunch of bonks.
There's a lot of things down there that we don't know about. We're guests in the water. We don't belong there. Even if we go to the beach, we go vacationing by a beach, I stay in the pool, the hotel pool.
Are you kidding me?
Beach, I'm not going in that water.
You just want to be near the beach?
Yeah.
Do you even see the beach from this pool?
If I could see the beach, that's good enough for me. You get a nice breeze from the beach, that's good enough.
Yeah. Is this out of fear you're doing this?
Yeah, I just don't know what's in that water. Did you see the other day?
It's mostly fish.
Well, yeah, mostly fish. But sometimes someone put out the video a couple of days ago and they posted it all over social media. There was an ocean, looked like there was driftwood, a piece of driftwood floating.
Oh,
maybe it was a lake. I don't know. It was a gator.
Or was it a gator. Are gators in the ocean now? Where can we go?
Who knows?
I've got a couple, and I looked at all the lists of songs with water in it.
Yeah.
And I didn't see these two. They were at the top of my mind, so I thought I'd go with it. Both from 1978.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Money, the fourth track on his second album, Life for the Taking.
Give Me Some Water.
Give Me Some Water. Fantastic track. And then the debut album for Dire Straits, also 1978, the first track, Down to the Waterline. I'm going to go with those.
Oh. There we go.
Hey, I'm going to go with another Eddie since you brought up Eddie.
Okay.
What about Eddie Rabbit with two T's?
Mm-hmm.
I love a rainy night.
There you go. Eddie Rabbit.
Didn't even have to look that one up.
God rest his soul.
It's all coming together. What's coming together? I don't know, but it's all coming together. Matt Stinchcomb, very kind to be here. We're swarmed as you came in today. You've got the salespeople. Everybody wants a piece of Matt Stinchcomb.
No, they thought I was Matt Ryan. When I came walking in, they're like, Matt's in, tall guy, white guy over there in the corner.
That doesn't look like Matt Ryan. You sure that's Matt? Oh, it's Stinchcomb.
Oh, Matt's got kind of, he's kind of puffy, like an allergic reaction or something.
It seemed like a lot of people were pitching things to you. It's funny you say puffy because you look fantastic. And your brother lost a lot of weight, former NFL offensive lineman. I think any NFL offensive lineman in general has, no matter what level you played at, you've got a love-hate relationship with food, do you not?
You do. You do. And you go one of two ways when you're done, right? Mm-hmm. One way is far more dangerous than the other. But, yeah, well, the beauty of it is, you remember this, right? You were big and beefy. Mm-hmm. And you still look pretty good, by the way. Your team is this where we're headed? Were you fishing? You called me.
Yeah, I brought it up to pay you a compliment. And now that you've done that, we can move on with the story.
it is interesting because it was, a lot of guys come out of the box, they're heavy, and it's easy for them to stay heavy. So that struggle is, because you always hear about guys that get fined for being too heavy. But what you don't hear about are the guys that get fined for being too light. So, like, in Denver, and it's the heyday when they're running that zone scheme and Alex Gibbs and They're making any running back, guys walking in off the street, they rush for 2,000 yards in that offense. And they're doing it with guys like Dan Neal, who's 265 pounds, soaking wet. And the difficulty they had was beefing those guys up. And so they would weigh dudes, and they'd be like, hey, man, you came in, you're 260, you're fined. And you get fined per pound being under. So those guys are like hiding weights in their girdle when they go to weigh in. Meanwhile, you know, with the Raiders, it was the exact opposite. We get out there, and I show up at 315, which is the heaviest. It was good.
Can you
weight.
Believe you once weighed 315?
I got up to 335.
Wow.
And it was, and boy, yeah, I've got photo documentation that I was, in fact, 335.
You every ounce piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah, close
Easy
to that.
Easy, Stephen.
Very, very close.
Man's a guest.
Yeah, I was aggressive. Thanks for having me.
How do you take that much weight off in a healthy manner?
Well, you stop juicing. And okay. So that's good. And I'm kidding. I was never bold. I didn't have enough hand-eye coordination to work the syringe.
Okay.
But but it is for me, it was the opposite. It was I could probably was that an Ozempic drug?
Yes, yeah. It was.
It was pre-Ozempic. Although what a miracle drug. Just changing lives and the apparel industry. But back then, it was, I could be 280 forever, but I couldn't. It was hard for me to get above 280. And so there were, you know, you'd wake up in the middle of the night and drink, you know, 2,000 calorie shakes. You make it before you go to bed, wake up at 2 a.m., pound one of those. You wouldn't eat breakfast. I got out to Oakland at 315, and there and the strength coach said, he just pointed at the scale. So get on that, you know, just, he actually didn't say anything. Just pointed at the scale. So get up. And he sees the number, just points at me, you know, kind of follow me. We walk down the hall in the little office park where the Raiders used to be. And he says, you see that locker? That's our right tackle. He's 6'8", 385 pounds. The locker next to him, that's our actual left tackle at the time. It was Bo Collins, as their first round draft pick the year before. He's 6'4", 365. This is our center. He's 6'2", 330. You got to gain weight. And I thought, holy crap. And so that's where, you know, the love hate, because then they say don't eat breakfast, and you know you need to eat like grilled cheese as your snack,
because breakfast,
like a condiment.
All of a sudden your metabolism kicks in when you eat breakfast.
Yeah.
And you have to wait.
Yep.
If you're going to keep the weight on. Yeah,
exactly. And they want you to eat again, so you eat like two dinners,
right?
So you got to eat as much as you can between noon and bedtime, then wake up in the middle of the night and eat again, and blah blah blah. So
yeah, Joe Thomas talked about that when he was playing. Of course, he lost a lot of weight as well. The one time Browns tackle, and he said, you know, you would have to, on vacation on the road somewhere with your family, and you got to find a McDonald's where you have to, you know, scarf down four meals at the same time because you have to keep the weight up.
Yeah.
So it seems like fun surfacely, but after a while, like everything else, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
To pig out all the time.
You're like getting waterboarded with food. It sounds like it'd be a great way to go, but it's not. Eventually. You're just like, please, again.
So Matt Stinchcomb, Steve West here with us. Stinch, you're going to witness another day in the life of Westy. This man's been everywhere, man. He'll do that around 11:50. And you're going to focus on Los Angeles, sports in Los Angeles, right, with the Braves and Dodgers beginning that series tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of folks headed down to the airport right now, getting ready to take that long flight to the West Coast and see the Braves out in L.A., as I've had a chance to do previously. So I just thought we'd go back and look at, say, the last decade or so, my top five sporting events that I saw in Southern California. I think it'll be really interesting.
So tomorrow it's Charlie Morton, Saturday it's Bryce Elder, and then it's Max Fried, Gavin Stone, Tyler Glasnow, James Paxton going to go for the Dodgers. A year ago, the Braves won 3 of 4 at Dodger Stadium. I don't know if it applied to the NFL, but it's a long season. They're going to tell you that in baseball, but you may just see this team somewhere down the line. And when you're playing one of the better teams, you could say it doesn't mean anything, but it's a nice measuring stick. Is it not, Stinch?
I think that's exactly what it is. And you would want to know, you know, within a season, you have an idea. I think that transcends sports, where you're sitting there going, okay, this is the team we might see again. Let's go ahead and not just measure ourselves against this team and this roster, but, you know, kind of set the tone for, you know, what they might get later on, because we can, and it's a long season, rosters change, especially in baseball, right? We've seen this many, many times where you might not have the same ingredients come playoff time, but it's a way to kind of crawl into some guys, you know, helmets with them a little bit. Oh, you know, the last time we saw these guys, last time I faced this guy, whatever it is, the mind game, the mental aspect of the game, that counts. That counts for something, even though, you know, we're still early yet. You know, they're sitting atop their division. So it's not like this is some, oh, well, they'll get hot later. They're batting well. They got familiar faces out there, obviously, painful though it might be, where, you know, Freddie's swinging the bat pretty well right now. It's always better to win than to lose. But I think when you're talking about a team that you're going to see again, you know you'll see them again if all things go well. But also in the postseason, it makes sense to want to put a dub up.
Yeah, I think it's a rivalry that goes all the way back to the Braves days in Milwaukee and the Dodgers days in Brooklyn. And then, of course, the many years that the two teams were in the NL West, and that's who the Braves had to run down in 91 in the worst of first season. And now you have the recent postseason history between the two clubs. So we can argue whether the Phillies or the Mets are now the Braves' number one rival in terms of within the division, but I think the Dodgers have just always kind of been there, even though they're not in the same division anymore.
Mookie Betts leading off, hitting 377. Buck was talking about the numbers this morning. You can listen to Buck Blue weekdays 10 to 11. Over 500 is Mookie Betts hitting with runners in scoring position. Freddie Freeman just had his hitting streak snapped at, what, 10 games, I believe, 292 yeah. He's hitting. Will Smith is hitting 355.
Whatever.
And then, of course, you got Shohei Ohtani, who's doing Shohei Ohtani things, as expected.
Yeah, we were talking about...
Let it ride on red, or what's he doing? what is that, Westy? What's Shohei Ohtani things? Does that include...
Yeah, I think it includes max velo off the bat, 118-mile-an-hour hits. I'm talking... You know, Ronald Acuna had 112-mile-an-hour velocity single yesterday that he ripped.
He also struck out three more times.
I think I'd like to see a exit velo contest in the All-Star game. Maybe instead of the home run derby, we have the fastest... or most speediest exit velo competition. And I'd love to see Shohei and Ronald Acuna. Quickly to your point about the Dodgers. Braves lineup, we know the power numbers have been missing from the big three there in the middle. Seattle was pitching very well. Got some help yesterday, the Braves, from the four unearned runs. But a Monday night's game against the Diamondbacks, in 44 plate appearances, the Dodgers had 10 hits, 8 walks, didn't strike out, had a hit batsman and a sack fly. Not a single strikeout in 44 plate appearances for the Dodgers. That hadn't happened to them since 2006.
And the Braves weren't known for striking out prior to now, and we have crossed over, obviously, into May, so not any concern yet. You're still 11 games above 500. Things could be a lot worse if you're the Braves. It's first-world problems, as we stated yesterday.
As of right now, we're fine.
Yeah, well, you are. Big picture, no question about it. You brought up Ohtani, Stench. I wanted to ask you, as a former pro athlete, how does something like that happen? I mean, I know the money's coming in and you didn't make the level of money he made, but still, I don't know how somebody can just go and take money from you like that.
Well, I gotta say, he's a busy guy. I mean, even on his off days, he's still playing, right? I mean, you don't have to pitch tonight, Shohei, but get your butt out there, huh? He's otherwise disposed, so I get that. And yeah, they play a lot of games in baseball and blah, blah, blah. There are guys, though, I can remember when we were playing and you would have to, it wasn't a direct deposit for your game checks. And so, you know, at least in the reason why this is even heightened is, so in the NFL, you only get paid during the season. It's right. Like you get paid during the offseason. They only pay you for those 16 weeks. So those are kind of important checks. Well, they would pay you via paper checks and you'd go and pick it up. And of course, for the Raiders, they would pay us on Tuesday, which was technically our off day. So you would have to go in on your off day to get your paycheck, which is brilliant. It's a brilliant move. So, and they wouldn't do direct deposit. And I can remember New York Pete was the guy that worked the front desk. Great dude. Cut hair, drove the shuttle back and forth to the airport and also distributed game checks, which is a typical job description. And he would flip through the paychecks and there'd be like three or four checks for Charles Woodson. And you're like, how can you just, those are big checks.
Right.
No, he was
huge.
On a second deal already.
Yeah.
Those checks are just sitting in there. Charles is a smart guy, hell of a player, smart guy, but he just, you know, he's got other stuff going on. Shohei, he's a busy, busy guy. You know, he's refining his interview skills, as we've noticed. You know, the answers got a lot shorter during that scandal. I noticed they weren't never very lengthy, but boy, did they get short. Really short.
And that conclusion came very, very quickly from Major League Baseball. That's
yeah,
it. Nothing else to see here.
Yeah,
What's that? I still just don't understand how something like that, Westy, could happen. How you could have that amount of money taken from you without anybody notifying you of anything going on.
Yeah, that seems rather strange. I mean, I've been known to let checks pile up here in the box at 680 The Fan, but that kind of money missing, yeah, I think I'd be aware of that.
A lot of zeros. I mean, it's just too many zeros for the guy. You feel for him. It's math. Math can be tricky.
Math is very, very dangerous. Trust me, I know. The 11 o'clock hour is brought to you by Finley Roofing, Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer. 4 decades of experience and a lifetime warranty on their work. Check them out at FinleyRoofing.com. The bongos mean the headlines. As we said, this is what's coming up on the show. The long-awaited day in the life of Westy makes its return at 11:50 with a Los Angeles theme. What is Deion Sanders thinking? We go on campus to explore that at 12:20. Brock Heward, a friend of Mr. Stinchcomb, works in Seattle. A one-time quarterback gives us some insight, because he's out there, on what to expect from Michael Penix Jr. Brock Heward will join us at 1:20. When we come back, it could be the biggest misnomer surrounding the Falcons. Into the red zone we drive next. Stinch, Westy, Cellini, all together here on your home of the Braves, with you till 2-ish. It's The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Have you thought about securing your hard-earned assets? Do you have concerns about the future? Protecting assets is crucial, and that's where Nelson Elder Care Law excels. As a family-owned and family-focused firm, we provide absolute assurance and peace of mind through our trademarked Absolute Protection Trust, tailored services in estate planning, probate administration, Medicaid crisis solutions, guardianship, and conservatorship. Our goal is to exceed your expectations and empower informed decisions. Visit NelsonElderCareLaw.com for asset protection and peace of mind.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Cellini D'Amino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Steve West, Matt Stinchcomb, the College Football Hall of Famer, in for D'Amino, who's taking care of business with his daughters coming back from college. That's going to be fun. They have a hard deadline. They have to be out of the dorms by 3 o'clock, and Chris is very, very, very high-strung and nervous when it comes to his daughters. And he said, what are the odds they're going to have everything ready to get out of there by 3 o'clock? I said, it's not going to be ready. They're high school into college girls.
Are we allowed to touch kids?
I don't think so, Chris. That's another story for another time. But kids in general, and they're still kids when they're in college, girls, boys, it doesn't matter. They have no concept of time. I've got a soon-to-be 15-year-old. No concept. Zero concept of time.
What's the consequence if they don't get it done?
That's what a good happens? Question.
Are they going to hold their grades?
The dorms keep their stuff. They lock the doors. I mean, they padlock them.
How much of that stuff do you really need to keep anyway? It's all plastic.
Eventually, the LAPD and the California Highway Patrol will show up. But that's for down the hall discussion.
Yes, down the hall and to the left. That's Extra 106.3, Atlanta's only conservative news
down the
talk
hall
station.
The
that's exactly where it is, sir. Now, Braves fans from all over Georgia can participate and win with the Braves Foundation's 50-50 raffle. It's all open for you, whether or not the Braves are home or on the road. Now, here's the deal. You have to register at Truist Park or online. But if you register online, you have to physically be located in the state of Georgia. If you win, you get 50% of the jackpot. The other 50% goes to the Braves Foundation. Go to Braves.com/5050 or visit the MLB ballpark app in Georgia. Anyway, this one-time Falcon gets a huge honor. We'll talk about that in about 5 minutes.
Punching it in from the goal line. This is the Drive into the Red Zone.
All right, let's start with the Falcons. We know what they did at number 8. They took Michael Penix Jr. And then, according to sources, Terry Fontenot even admitted this later on, they tried to move from anywhere from 9 to 32 to get back into the first round and draft a defensive player. If you're a veteran offensive lineman like Jake Matthews, if you're in the room of truth, Matt Stinchcomb, how do you feel about this first-round pick? Because it's not going to help this team, barring an injury, for a couple of years.
Right. I do think that there's going to be, I want to say frustration, confusion, right? Because let's think of all the conjecture ever since this has happened, where folks have had to provide extensive context. And I would think that they were probably expecting something that helps with more immediacy. you know, there's a justification out there for this pick, and we're hearing more and more where, hey, you know, we tried to trade down and all these things, couldn't get it done. But, you know, for the veteran OL guys, and really the other guys, these are two new faces. This is a sea change at quarterback. And, you know, I think that they got to be wondering, you know, how is this? We know how we want it to play out. How will this play out? Those guys, you know, Jake especially, he's been around enough to carry out his business as a pro. But it's confusing. At best, it's confusing because once those guys both get here, you know, you're not worried about their 10-year plan. You're worried about this season.
And how many more years do I have left? Westy, I think we stand in agreement. It's not about the pick. It's about this team and signing Kirk Cousins and the combination of the pick. I don't think anybody questions what Michael Penix Jr., the player, is.
We all love the player, but a lot of us hate the pick. How does this make the team better this year? That's the question here. Now, the narrative coming from the part of the fan base that's in favor of this is saying, well, it's Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. No, it's not. Not at all.
No.
Because when Aaron Rodgers came to the Packers, Brett Favre had already been established, multiple Pro Bowls, etc., Super Bowl. And Rodgers fell to the Packers, if I recall, in the 2005 draft at 24th overall. Now, here comes Jordan Love. Rodgers is already established, Super Bowls, Pro Bowl appearances. Jordan Love falls to the Packers at 26 in the first round. So those are different situations. I just think the last thing I expected when the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins to this deal is for them to take the 8th overall pick in the draft and go after a quarterback. If you could have moved back, address edge, and still gotten Penix at, say, 11-ish, then I think there wouldn't be any bad feelings necessarily or question marks about it, but they didn't do that. And as far as Fontenot goes, what's he supposed to say? No, right. We didn't try to trade back. Penix was our guy all along, and we just wanted to get him in case somebody else was going to steal him out from under us. So, look, what's done is done. There's no sense crying over spilt milk. As Falcons fans, we just have to hope that this works out the way that the organization has planned it. But as I've always learned with the Atlanta Falcons, it's just like one time the NCAA was sniffing around Tennessee football, and I asked Johnny Majors about it. He said, well, Westy, hope for the best, but expect the worst. That's your Atlanta Falcons.
That's the team slogan year in, year out.
Boy, that's a warm blanket. Man. Well, I'll tell you what. So tonight, you know, Rich McKay is speaking at the Gwinnett County Sports Hall of Fame event, and I feel certain that he'll address. I'll be fascinated to hear, you know, what he says about that situation. Guy's been around, you know, football a long time. This is unique. As much as they want it to not be and act as if this is, there's a model here. You just pointed it out, Westy. No, there isn't. There are way too many disparate variables here where this isn't Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. This isn't Favre Rodgers at all. It's not even Maddox Elway. It's not Walsh Aikman. It's not, you know, we've seen this happen before where you've got a guy and then you draft a guy. It's not even Breeze Flutie Rivers, I guess. It's not that either. All these guys were already there. So you bring in a new guy and then you bring in another new guy. And that goes back to the confusion part. I get it. I get the long range of goals of being able to have an answer there. That you might not pick as high in the next year. All the things. It's the dynamic in the locker room. It's the dynamic in the I'm going to say huddle, because they do still huddle in the pros, which is fascinating.
On occasion. College football,
they do. Yeah. That little meeting that they have, the mm-hmm. huddle. So, but it's even in practice, and everybody, Marcus Spears nailed it, I think the day after the draft. And, you know, guys are just twisting themselves around the axle trying to be like, okay. So this is why this makes sense. This is why it's good. And it's really only a couple guys that are even carrying that mail. And Spears is like, let's stop tap dancing around this. And he nails it. It's the locker room dynamic. And it's not like guys want to pick sides, but the locker room knows. The locker room always knows. And it goes beyond just personality or like hanging with this guy or eating chicken wings with him or whatever. It's which one of these guys is going to help me win games on Sunday? And the moment that one of those guys looks like he's the better option. Now you've created a problem, and it's not like the other guy has a track record at all. And we all know how that dynamic works. You're coming in and you're saying, Kirk Cousins, you are now the we're making you the established guy, having never been afforded the opportunity to establish yourself in this city, with this team, in this building, with these players. And now we're going to bring in a guy that could distract from that. It's Kirk Cousins is a competitor. I'm not worried about him. And I'm not really worried about Penix. It's all the other guys in the locker. When you're throwing in the offseason and Cousins texts you and then Penix texts you, hey, man, let's go throw it. I got a text. And maybe they'll coordinate that. I don't know how that works because, you know, we didn't go say, hey, let's go do one-on-one pass rush, you know, in March. But these guys are doing that. That's what happens in the skills. You know, how does that look? What does that look like? We all know how that conversation is going to go, and to ignore it is a joke, and to pretend like it's Green Bay is not relevant. That analogy does not hold water.
Conspiracy theory. The new head coach and the existing general manager conspired to build themselves a four-year runway to safely land this jet before the plane crashes and both of them get fired. Because how can you fire the coach or the general manager before Penix has a year or two as a starting quarterback? If you think about the strategy, it's actually brilliant.
The only way they can lose their job is if they are horrendous again defensively. And I know Braylon Trice, everybody's talking about him being a steal in the third round. And I hope he is. But they did nothing to address the linebackers. They did nothing really to address an established edge rusher. And in the back end of the defensive backfield, safety and corner, you did nothing to establish the issues or at least try to improve the issues that you had there. So if they crash land again, and they've been horrible defensively the last 2 years, if that happens again, somebody may pay the price inside of those 4 years.
Last three games, I think it was 29, 38, 47, 48 points against New Orleans allowed. That's not a defense that's trending in the right direction. Hey. Oh, and by the way, you've got your two leading sack players from last year who are not under contract right now, Dupree and Calais Campbell.
Well, to me, the biggest misnomer is that the Falcons, someone brought this up, turnkey, ready-made, whatever term you want to use. You look at this defense, and you look at, and the quarterback's supposed to elevate the play, but you look at the numbers of these defensive players. This doesn't seem to be a ready-made franchise right now, does it?
No, it had its holes, and those holes were addressed. Were they addressed? We're saying that perhaps. I think if anything, what happened here and the challenge I think that happened here was that you've got a quarterback that you've brought in Kirk Cousins, and what you're saying is, hey, look, instead of building the pieces that will help you, and I'm not talking about receiver or here's an offensive lineman or running back. No, opposite you. Let's get the ball back. Let's take the pressure off the scoring. Let's say that, you know what, we punt right here and play field position. All those things matter. And instead it's, you know, hey, Kirk, you're going to have to shoulder more of the load now. And it's in that way, okay, that way the Green Bay model applies. Hey, Aaron Rodgers, we're not going to help you. We're expecting you to be good enough to elevate these other guys. Overcome it. Overcome these other shortcomings. And in some ways, maybe it's a backdoor endorsement of Kirk Cousins to say, you know what, we don't have to help you as much as maybe the outside of this building thinks that we do. But, man, you talk about day zero pressure. Hey, Kirk, make us better because we're not going to bring in the pieces necessarily.
I want to ask you something. As a guy that practiced in the NFL, and I know they don't practice a lot, especially in pads now, but what if a quarterback has a good Wednesday, a good Tuesday? Tuesday's the off day. A good Wednesday, good Thursday in practice. Do you notice that? And does that go around the locker room? Boy, you looked a lot more crisp than the other guy.
This is the part that is maybe the biggest challenge. Is that there's only so many reps. It's such a small roster right in the pros anyway, right? So it's not like you got, look, in the pros, you've got starters that are taking look squad reps.
Right.
You know, so you're going down there, you're doing two or three plays that the other team's running against your own defense. You just don't have the bodies. But I say that because you've got limited bodies, you've got limited reps. The backup has to fight and scratch to get those reps. You know, Tom Brady famously would say, you know, that year that he had horrible tendonitis, I can't remember what year that was, and his elbow is just wrecked. And they're going in there, and the backup quarterback was it Hoke, I think, from Michigan State. And he's like, hey, man, you know, why don't you let us, you know, we'll take the 2-minute drill today. He's like, you're out of your mind. You know, I know how I got this job. and there's no way I'm going to let you go out there and take the team down the field a couple times. He probably was like, I also know how these dudes work in this building. You know, they'll cut your area off just to put another guy in. But there's only so many reps. It's not like you can run period 15 twice. It's only so we're going to run 12 plays. We got to see all of them, and we want to see it with the guy that's going to be out there on Sunday. And so that scenario, if it does come up, it's you're running look squad reps. And let's be real, the offensive coaches, they're not over there coaching that. They're you know, prepping for the next offensive period.
So that's something that's not necessarily going to happen.
I think that, you know, you could see it in camp. That's where right. it could possibly emerge, right, is in camp when you do have more reps and you are practicing more often and you can expand more. Then there's a chance that a guy could go out there and he's lighting it up. Oh, wow, you know, whoever, filling the blank, is it Cousins, is it Penix? That maybe, you know, it catches some guys' eyes that aren't necessarily coaches, guys on the roster.
If the Falcons had given Gardner Minshew 2 years and $25 million as the Raiders did, then I think you could rationalize taking Penix at number 8. But the money they gave Cousins without addressing the defense.
That's my point, yeah. Westy. That if you want to draft Penix, that's fine. Then spend money to possibly bring in a Danelle Hunter. Impact guys on the other side of the ball where you need the help. But doing both just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, for one to make sense, the other. There is no way for both of these picks, or these decisions, I should say, to work out. It doesn't, right? History doesn't favor
both of these things working out.
Well, and by that, I mean, some would be like, what are you talking about? You know, Kirk plays 3 seasons. They compete. Maybe they contend.
3 seasons is an eternity.
Exactly.
Even 2 seasons is an eternity.
Well, and then, right, so if that works, then your number 8 pick at quarterback is sitting for those at 8. At 8, it's not, you know, everyone's going to say Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years. Right. Jordan Love sat for 3 years. Uh-huh. Right. Neither one of those guys were the number 8 pick in the draft. And I do think what would be interesting, what would have been maybe helpful even for fans' psyche, is remember that, I don't know if y'all saw this, where Monty Ossenford, the GM for the Cardinals, him working the phones, which, you know, some of that's, I don't know that that was necessarily theater, but it was fascinating to watch that real-time negotiation that's going on. That, okay, so you try to trade down somewhere from 9 to 32, knowing that Michael Penix, who was really high on your board, Atlanta, and if everybody else is being honest, he was high on their boards, too. You're saying that one of the elite can't-pass-up picks in this draft was still out there, and you were shopping the number 8 pick, and nobody, there was no good scenario. And maybe there wasn't. Maybe they got frozen out. That would have been, it would have been really cool to see in general, but especially in this context where you're going, hey, look, wow, so, you know, these other guys, there was nothing that was worthy of our 8 pick, and we're left with this one. Either way, there's no way to land where you're like, oh, you know what? I feel good about it.
And
I really do.
It's probably ridiculous that I'm bringing this up, but Sean Payton's been crowing about how he tricked the Vikings into thinking he wanted J.J. McCarthy. He was behind the Vikings. Couldn't the Falcons have tricked the Vikings into thinking that they wanted J.J. McCarthy?
I think Sean Payton talks nonsense.
I think Sean loves him some Sean, doesn't
right.
he? Boy, howdy.
Warren Dunn is the polar opposite of Sean Payton, and he won the College Sports Communications 24 Dick Enberg Award. That, I guess, is one of the most prestigious honors presented annually. It's the quote here, to an individual who has distinguished themselves nationally through their career achievement and meaningful contributions to society while promoting the values of education and academics. Yeah, I think that applies to Warrick Dunn when you think about all of the things that he has done on and, more importantly, off the field. One of the best guys ever to come through this town is Warrick Dunn.
No question. And I can think back to when that decision was being made. And there were other guys, you know, Garrison Hurst was in play at the time. You know, you think about it, a heck of a player, a couple of comeback player of the year awards for him. And as the story goes, it wasn't just Warrick's play on the field, but it was his role in the community and how intentional he was in impacting others that was part of what the franchise was coveting. And you could not have asked for a better, more complete delivery on both than I think what this city has gotten from Warrick Dunn having come to play with the Falcons. And now
obviously, in the ownership group.
You mentioned Alex Gibbs and that Denver zone blocking scheme, and we had that going on in 2004 here. Warrick Dunn, 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns. Michael Vick, 902 yards, 3 touchdowns. T.J. Duckett, 509 yards, 8 touchdowns. Duckett had one carry all year for negative yardage. The Falcons led the National Football League in rushing during the 2004 season, over 2,600 yards.
How'd you feel about the offensive lineman not talking? I don't think you would have had a problem with that, would you?
Yeah, I would have been perfectly fine with that, right?
Alex Gibbs, that was the philosophy.
That was his thing, yeah. They would take the fine, right? They would take you, because in the NFL, you know, if you don't show up for media availability, they can fine you for that, right? It's part of the product and all the things. But be seen, not heard. And it sure did work for him for so long. You think about that system. You know, Michael Turner was a Pro Bowler. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a good player in San Diego. What did he rush for that Pro Bowl year? North of 1,000, right? And you think about guys that Cornelius Griffin, you know, if he didn't fumble a couple of times, you know, he started out the season, we had like, what, a 400-yard
Mike
game?
Anderson, the guy who was in the marching band in high school.
Yeah. Mike Anderson.
Went into the armed services.
Exactly.
He came out and became the top rusher in the NFL. Yeah. One of the top, if not the top.
He was in that. I mean, they're pulling guys off of boats, handing them the ball.
They got mileage out of Alandis Gary, didn't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what's that? Clinton Portis.
Yeah.
You know, Clinton Portis gets paid. What's fascinating is you could see that. It's a system. It's the system. I know those guys are talented, don't they? Anyway, that system worked for everybody. And as soon as, you know, you think about those years, you know, Elway wins a Super Bowl. Did it. You know, Elway was on the field. Elway's a Hall of Fame, great quarterback, all the things, all the disclaimers. You know, they ran the football. And Terrell Davis is the Super Bowl MVP for a reason. And Terrell Davis, right? You know, he had a season at Georgia. You know, he does something to his hamstring, I want to say. Comes back, rushes versus Auburn. They break the Auburn undefeated streak. They tie Auburn on the plains. Guys get drafted. He was playing nose tackle for Long Beach State. And then, you know, George Allen passes away. They stop the program, and their former nose tackle, Terrell Davis, transfers to Georgia, plays tailback sparingly, then goes to the Denver Broncos, Hall of Famer. And you got to think that's an unbelievable rise.
Yeah, that story more than defies logic.
It's crazy, right? I mean, so we're talking about Mike Anderson coming up, you know, pulling him off a submarine or wherever he was and handing him the ball. You're telling Terrell Davis, who came from a program that doesn't even play football anymore, you barely ran the ball at Georgia because of injury, and you're a Hall of Fame tailback and Super Bowl MVP. You just don't hear that every day.
A guy that won 4 Super Bowls that you played with the Raiders, Bill Romanowski, and his wife filed for bankruptcy. I guess the IRS is looking for $15.5 million in unpaid federal taxes. His nutrition company, Nutrition 53, I guess they hid behind that. And the IRS said, no, that is not a proper write-off. So here they are filing for bankruptcy. On a scale of 1 to 10, day in, day out, dealing with a guy. I don't know how much personal you had to deal with Bill Romanowski, how many personal face-to-faces you had, but how strange was he day to day? Because we had him in studio once, and he was out there, man.
Yeah, what's the scale? 1 to 10?
1 to 10.
I don't know if there's enough degrees in there to capture it. That guy was a full-blown weirdo. I mean, in a cast of characters. This is with the Raiders,
right,
mind you, right? So, you know, come one, come all, but come on. These guys, and it was towards the end of his career, right? He played for the Broncos. He played for the Niners, for the Eagles, I want to say. I watched him dislocate Shannon Sharpe's elbow in Monday Night Football. It was intentional. You're sitting there, you're watching it. He sees it, his arms pinned underneath him. He's like, oh, he just kind of rolls over, pop. And, you know, this is not surprising at all. He was, to say the least, a caricature of a football player. And I will say this, albeit a known cheater, right? The guy was taking everything you could take and more, and how he ducked it repeatedly. And all of a sudden, he's getting concussions the years that Victor Conti, okay, the guy who founded Balco, remember Balco?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the cream and the clear, and Marion Jones and Barry Bonds, whose hat, you know, his
he was making
explodes.
Stuff they didn't test for because you couldn't test for it yet.
Right.
That's how far ahead of the curve they were.
I mean, if you're gonna throw him, you know, any laurels his way, it's like, hey, man. At least he was a brilliant cheater, way ahead of the curve. But a dude that was just, he was a me guy, total me guy, mercenary, a true mercenary in that regard, but way ahead of it. I mean, really had a little tight circle of dudes that he would talk to. But I would say, to sum him up, a bad guy.
We had Romanowski in studio with us, and during one of the breaks, he was talking about playing against Tony Gonzalez. And he said, the first time I played against Tony Gonzalez, now mind you, this is during the break. He said, I went up when I grabbed him by his blinking throat. I said, no way, this is, his face is turning purple. And I'm looking at the guy that I'm working with, and we're like, man, this guy.
Yeah, let's take it easy on him.
This guy is out there, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
he was. This guy lives his gimmick.
Remember, he was in the Longest Yard remake. Yeah. What, he one of the guards or something?
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, he's very method. I don't think he ever broke character.
No. I loved him on Comcast.
He may have had flashbacks on that movie.
I loved him on Comcast Bay Area after his career was over and he was doing the local television, talking about the Raiders and the Niners.
Westy, this guy, so in season, this is 2003 season, he gets injured. A lot of dudes get injured. And some of them get popped for the Balco stuff. And Romo, so he's out because of concussions or something. I can't remember. He ends up on IR. That guy is doing media from the Raiders facility during the season. So you're on the team, but now you're doing media appearances, I think Fox maybe, and he's commenting on other teams, including the Raiders, while you're on the team, which that's maybe more commonplace. Now, once you get to the postseason, you'll see guys that are no longer playing, right? And then they'll put them on a desk somewhere, but not during the regular season. And he was doing it then. And the irony was, I think he was out. He was on IR because of concussions. And he had started a company, one of many, apparently. Sounds like quite the tax shelter. It was for a while.
Yeah.
It was a tax shelter with no roof.
That shelter has collapsed.
A roofless tax shelter. But he created this company for mouthpieces that supposedly would repress the propensity to get concussions, of all things. And the founder and, you know, key endorser of said mouthpiece was on IR because of concussions. Is that irony? I'm not English lit.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like rain on your wedding day. We ride when you've already paid.
That could have been our water song.
Yeah, perhaps so. Perhaps so. By the great Alanis Morissette. Not forgotten and not gone. The 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Finley Roofing. When we come back with the Braves going out to California, it's a Surf City version of a day in the life of Westy. That lies ahead. Stinchcomb, Steve West, in for Chris Domino today. It's Cellini and Domino. It's the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
Have you thought about securing your hard-earned assets? Do you have concerns about the future? Protecting assets is crucial, and that's where Nelson Elder Care Law excels. As a family-owned and family-focused firm, we provide absolute assurance and peace of mind through our trademarked Absolute Protection Trust, tailored services in estate planning, probate administration, Medicaid crisis solutions, guardianship, and conservatorship. Our goal is to exceed your expectations and empower informed decisions. Visit NelsonElderCareLaw.com for asset protection and peace of mind.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Cellini Domino, Westy, Matt Stinchcomb in for Domino. He's back tomorrow. Appreciate you taking the time to listen. Your favorite song about the water is the X Platform question of the day, with it being National Tuna Day. And the X Platform brought to you by Harris Cherokee Casino and Resort. Hey, don't forget, the fundraising continues over the weekend, courtesy of First Horizon Bank, collecting gently used baseball and softball equipment. Fuller's Park, Roberts Road, and Marietta is where we are going to be this upcoming Saturday from 9 to 11. 643 with Dylan Short going to be there on site, collecting the new and gently used baseball and softball equipment. And each person making a donation gets a free car wash, compliments of Tidal Wave Auto Spa. It's all brought to you by First Horizon Bank and Tidal Wave Auto Spa. Tough times continue for Braves fans. Thankfully, we've got the solution. We'll get into that a little bit past the top of the hour. But like we said, he is back and better than ever. People are waiting for it. Another edition of A Day in the life of Westy.
All righty, as we said, Braves heading out to L.A. Chavez Ravine take on the L.A. Dodgers three-game series this weekend. I'm sure someone in their car on the 680 app headed to Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport right about now. Get ready for a weekend series out there in L.A. I thought it would be interesting just to look back, say, last 10 years or so of sporting events that I've attended in Los Angeles. And I came up with a top five list. Y'all ready to do this?
Absolutely. Yeah. I can't wait.
All right, number five. NASCAR Busch Clash at the Coliseum, which I just went to in February for the first time. Third and final year of a three-year contract. I had watched the first two races on television.
So they turned the L.A. Memorial Coliseum into a racetrack.
Exactly. I watched it on television, and I'm like, I have got to see this in person. This iconic venue that has hosted two Olympics, that will host a third Olympics coming up in 2028, that was the original home of the L.A. Dodgers when they moved from Brooklyn.
Super Bowls, right?
Multiple Super Bowls. Miami Dolphins completed the 17-0 season at the L.A. Coliseum. UCLA played home games there. USC still plays home games there. Evel Knievel, multiple concerts, so many things. To see a quarter-mile bull ring, what school is, what high school cluster are you in?
What high school cluster? Marietta.
Marietta, okay. Doesn't work because Northcutt Stadium doesn't have a track around it. Parkview has a track around it, right?
It does, yes.
Right. Imagine setting
six lanes, though.
Setting up a quarter-mile track on the floor of the L.A. Coliseum, paving it, safer barriers, catch fence, first 15 rows tarped off, and that's what we saw. Now, asterisk, this is between storms. Remember all the storms in California. So, therefore, NASCAR Mexico Series qualifying in the afternoon with plans to go to the race on Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 hours later, I'm down in Long Beach at the Long Beach State UC San Diego basketball game. Someone asked me, well, what else are you going to do while you're in L.A.? I told him I'm going to the Clash of the Coliseum. He said, they're running the race right now. I said, they're running the race right now? He said, they decided at the last minute with the next storm coming in to just go ahead and run the race tonight. I wasn't going to fight the traffic going all the way back to L.A. I stayed in Long Beach and watched the games. That's number five. That's why it's
That's a whole
nother
story, Stinch, yeah. For a whole nother day.
That's why it's number five.
That's right.
By the way, I got back to my hotel, watched the race. Denny Hamlin won, and it was actually the best of the three races. Number four, Angels and Rangers at Anaheim Stadium, April of 2021. I went out to Las Vegas for 420, right? Bad idea. Real bad idea. There's a line going out every dispensary on the strip. Ugh. I love college kids. I love other things. But I didn't sign up for this. So I get in the car and I drive to Malibu, spend 420 there. And then the Angels are home against the Rangers the next day for a matinee. Remember, we're coming out of the pandemic here. So it's still the limited attendance right. Scenario where they only let like 12,000 people in the building.
Except for the dispensaries.
Yeah. Stop me if you've heard this story before. Trout and Shohei Ohtani go yard. The Angels are up, but then the bullpen implodes and they end up losing the game in the ninth inning. Typical story for the Angels. And it keeps on going up. Poor Wash. He's finding out what he's got on his hands.
I told
Domino
yesterday, if he were to talk to Wash in the room of honesty, there's no way he doesn't wish he was back here right now.
Yeah,
I know he wanted to manage again, but life was pretty good here as the third base coach.
They started out a bit like 7-8 and then 9 out of 10 losses. All right, number three on the list, Valentine's Day 2012, Atlanta Hawks at Los Angeles Lakers in a building that was still known at the time as the Staples Center. And I just went back and looked at, remember, this is the season that was the lockout season, that they didn't start playing the games till Christmas Day. So
gotcha.
LA was like 17-13, Atlanta was like 20-12. Here's some of the names from that game. The starting five for Atlanta, Joe Johnson, Jeff Teague, Josh Smith, Zaza Pachulia, and Marvin Williams. Lakers countered with Pau Gasol, Kobe Bryant, Andrew Bynum in the middle, Meta World Peace, and Derek Fisher, Lakers 86, Hawks 78, Valentine's Night 2012. All right, number two on the list, and this was a tough call. I'm out there for week zero. Seeing Hawaii and UCLA, also 2021. I get a text message from Frank Duffy. He's in the Rose Bowl at the same time as I am.
Right.
scouting UCLA because the next week, LSU is going to be out there playing.
I wasn't aware he was on the LSU payroll, yeah, where he was scouting.
We got a purple shirt on, coach's shirt on.
Just learned something new.
I think there are folks that figured he was maybe on the staff.
Right.
Anyway, Tigers.
I'm staying in Hollywood. He's got the RV out there in Malibu. And so he gets with Colin Weed, 680 The Fan sales president, and fixes us up with tickets. We're waiting at the will call with Tyler Matzik's family. We're sitting next to Drew Smiley's wife, kids, and nanny, five rows behind a Braves dugout at Dodger Stadium. Absolutely fantastic.
At Chavez Ravine, yeah.
Incredible. That was the year the Braves won the World Series and beat the Dodgers in the NLCS.
And for those that are headed to Dodger Stadium for the first time, you can't see Dodger Stadium. It's in the ravine. They call it Chavez Ravine for a reason. You can't see that stadium until you're at the stadium.
All right, I'm going to give you a special tip here going out there. I know where the free parking is on the grounds, okay? Get off the freeway. You take two lefts. Don't follow all the cars that are going to where the parking lot is. There's a street that runs along the perimeter of Dodger Stadium called Lilac Terrace, L-I-L-A-C. Frank Duffy and I parked there for free because I knew the inside.
Always did like free.
All right, finally, number one, the best event that I attended in L.A. in the last 5 years. This is also at Dodger Stadium, NHL Stadium Series. This is 2014, late February, and this is the first ever outdoor hockey game in Southern California. Anywhere in California, it's L.A. Kings and the Anaheim Ducks. 55,000 people at the L.A. Coliseum. There's a sheet of ice laid out between first base and third base. Kiss performs before the game and during the first intermission.
When you think NHL, you think Kiss.
Yeah. Jordan Sparks sings the national anthem. The guy from Five for Fighting also performed. There's beach volleyball courts, sand volleyball courts set up in left field, and kids are playing throughout the game. Horrible situation, though. They ran out of beer at a hockey game with 55,000 people.
Uh-oh.
Why? Dodger Stadium is a Budweiser facility. This was the Coors Light NHL Stadium Series, so they couldn't serve Coors, and they ran out of beer before the third period. But that was my number one event, the first ever outdoor hockey game at Dodger Stadium.
Stinchy's the Forrest Gump of sports travel.
Minus the beard.
Yeah, he is everywhere.
That is amazing. Now, so that hockey game had... Is it a hockey game or match? Is it a hockey match?
I believe it's a game.
Is it a game?
Either way.
Yeah. Well, when do you ever say match? Is it a tennis match? Was it a hockey game?
Soccer match.
Soccer match, maybe, on the pitch.
Volleyball match.
All right, so yeah, it is a volleyball match, I think. So they had... But they had volleyball at the hockey game on a baseball field?
Well, they were out in left field. They put down sand, and they had volleyball nets. And I think just part of the spectacle, part
right,
of the show.
Because it's Los Angeles.
They brought in these kids to play throughout the course of the game. Also interesting, this would turn out to be the very last time that I would show up at an event without a ticket, cash in hand, and purchased... I didn't know it at the time, a paper ticket to gain entry into the venue.
Did you save it?
I do have it somewhere in my treasure trove at home. I'll have to go down in the basement and look for that. But yeah, that turned out to be the last time I ever paid for a hard copy of a ticket to go into an event.
Wow. My favorite of the top five was the event that you almost went to but didn't.
Which one's that?
Number five,
NASCAR
right?
Event? Yeah. Yes.
I was going out there for this event.
Hey, bud, you're missing the race.
That's
great.
I saw the NASCAR Mexico Series qualifying. I did see
at least
that.
You were there for a race.
I did see...
Not the race, but a race.
I did see in person with my own eyes what it was like for stock cars to roll around the floor of the Coliseum. Now, California Speedway has been torn down. They haven't issued any permits to build anything. So LA's too big of a market to ignore.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going back to the Coliseum. That's to be determined. But yeah, I'm glad that I saw at least the practice session and the qualifying at the Coliseum.
What part of the Coliseum was condemned at that point in time? Because there's almost always one section where they're like, can't sit here, structural integrity.
The concert...
It's like Stegman Coliseum.
That's the outside. Yeah. You can sit inside safely. The tiles only fall during the offseason.
The concert, which was Machine Gun Kelly, was to take place in the area leading up to the peristyle. So part of that was closed off, obviously, because there was going to be a performance there. But pretty much from what I saw, the rest of the Coliseum, beyond the tarped off, say, first 12, 15 rows behind the catch fence, you could sit anywhere you wanted. And if you go back and look at the replay, on short notice, not very many folks were able to show up for that Saturday night affair.
That's too bad, because that actually makes sense. to put a race, you know, in closer confines. That makes it more interesting. I'm trying to think, where did they do? It was Virginia Tech and Tennessee to start the season, and they
Bristol Motor Speedway.
At Bristol. That was horrible because it was the exact opposite. Can't see the players.
Another day in the life of Westy pays off. The 12 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wade Ford. At Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, you'll discover great prices, flexible finance options, our top trading values. Thank you for that input, Adam Gillespie, and even mobile service. It's the only solution for some Braves fans during these very, very challenging times. We'll get into that next. Stinch, Westy in for Domino. It's Cellini and Domino. It's the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Have you thought about securing your hard-earned assets? Do you have concerns about the future? Protecting assets is crucial, and that's where Nelson Elder Care Law excels. As a family-owned and family-focused firm, we provide absolute assurance and peace of mind through our trademarked Absolute Protection Trust, tailored services in estate planning, probate administration, Medicaid crisis solutions, guardianship, and conservatorship. Our goal is to exceed your expectations and empower informed decisions. Visit NelsonElderCareLaw.com for asset protection and peace of mind.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.